Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, and this is your FT News Briefing. The Scottish National Party suffered yet another major setback yesterday, and the drama at WeWork might actually be coming to a close. Plus, Africa's young tech sector is catching the eyes of international investors. I'm Mark Filippino, back from sabbatical, and here's the news you need to start your day.
Good afternoon. Can I thank you all for coming?
Hamza Youssef, Scotland's First Minister, announced his resignation yesterday.
I've concluded that repairing our relationship across the political divide can only be done with someone else at the helm.
It's the latest in a long line of political problems for the Scottish National Party, which Youssef leads.
To my colleagues in opposition, regardless of political party, I genuinely do wish you well. I bear no ill will and certainly bear no grudge against anyone.
Here to talk to me about where the country's largest party is headed next is the FT's Simeon Kerr. Hey, Simeon.
Hi there.
All right, so just get us up to speed here. Why did Youssef resign?
Well, last Thursday, Hamza Youssef decided to try and reset his leadership by tearing up a power-sharing agreement with his coalition partners, the Scottish Greens. This was attempting to try and get back onto the centre ground of politics, to refocus on bread and butter issues that are of most concern to the voters. You know, issues such as health, education, transport, economy, jobs and investment. However, the Greens reacted furiously to this slight and decided not to back his leadership when the Scottish Conservatives launched a vote of no confidence in Hamza Youssef. And so over the weekend, there was a lot of backroom talks, lots of attempts to see whether he could find some other opposition MSPs to help him survive this vote of no confidence. But after reflection, he decided that he'd run out of road and the only thing to do was to allow someone else in his party to lead the government forward.
So, Simeon, how much of the story is about Youssef versus a story about the S&P more largely?
Well, their stories really are entwined at this point. I think the starting point we have is that the S&P had been in power for 17 years. You know, it's feeling like a bit of a tired administration that's running out of ideas. Now, Hamza Youssef did inherit a toxic legacy. You know, the party had many problems. There was this cloud of the investigation into the SNP's finances, a police investigation. And since taking over in that period, you know, he's found it hard to get on the front foot and stamp his authority on the position. He's been buffeted from crisis to crisis. So there'll be those that will certainly criticise his handling, especially of this latest issue with the Greens. But it has to be accepted that he's also taken on a toxic legacy.
Yeah, so you have this pretty abrupt resignation. And then you also have this broader backdrop of a party that's really lost its way because of a scandal. Where does the S&P go from here?
Well, right now, the party is going to be focused on selecting a new leader. The Greens, who essentially, you know, signed Hamza Youssef's political death warrant, they have said they agree that they want to work with the S&P government as a minority government. So they're pretty safe in that respect once they get themselves a new leader elected. I think going forward, they'll be fairly confident that things can get better because the whole point of Hamza Youssef's strategy of booting the Greens out was to redeploy their forces onto the center ground of Scottish politics.
This comes at a really interesting time, Simeon, because we're going to have a UK general election sometime in the next few months. How will this debacle for the Scottish National Party influence that election?
Well, certainly the Labour Party are feeling very happy today. They are, as you say, preparing for a general election at Westminster. And Scotland used to be an absolute bastion of Labour support. That fell away after 2014. And now they're hoping that with the chaos in the Scottish leadership, with issues around competence in bread and butter issues around education and health, they think that they can make gains, maybe up to 20 seats, that would all help Labour leader Keir Starmer in his attempt to oust Rishi Sunak as Prime Minister in number 10 Downing Street.
Simeon Kerr covers Scotland for the Financial Times. Thanks, Simeon.
You're welcome. Thanks.
WeWork looks like it's ready to exit bankruptcy. A federal bankruptcy judge yesterday approved a deal that would give senior creditors control of the reorganized company. They would invest $450 million into WeWork. The new WeWork would carry no debt, and creditors will vote on that deal today. Now, co-founder Adam Neumann had been trying to swoop in and buy WeWork, but this agreement pretty much leaves him out in the cold. Africa's tech startups are about to get a big boost. In fact, it's a $154 million boost. The venture capital firm TLCom Capital focuses on Africa, and it just finished one of the region's largest fundraising efforts this year. The money could help get a struggling industry back on track. Here to talk to me about it is the FT's Anu Adeoye. Hey, Anu.
Hi.
So can you start by just giving me a little bit of background on Africa's tech industry?
Yeah, you know, I would describe the tech landscape as still maturing. We've seen a lot of companies grow in the past decade, I would say. Most of them are in the fintech sector. That's the financial sector because, you know, there's loads of people without bank accounts. So there's loads of companies that have come into the sector to try and solve those gaps. What's been happening in the past year is the tech sector is not immune from the global economic headwinds. And in Africa, in particular, inflation has been running really wild, which means that tech companies themselves have been struggling either with funding opportunities or they've been struggling with attracting customers.
Okay, so African startups have been having a pretty tough time, but it sounds like they're going to be coming into some cash. How big of an impact will this fundraising round actually have on the industry?
You know, I think it's going to be a massive boost. TLCom is one of these venture capital firms who solely invest in African tech companies. And so for a fund to be able to have this war chest to potentially deploy this year and over the coming years could help entrepreneurs on the continent take their ideas to the next level. So what they told the FT is that they are looking to put their money in Southern Africa and in Egypt, and also to continue investing in West Africa and in East Africa, bearing in mind that these markets pretty much represent the big four markets for tech on the continent. Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, and Egypt. These are the markets they want to focus on.
And just out of curiosity, where's the money that TLCom Capital has raised coming from?
Most of the money have come from limited partners, big institutional partners in Europe and the United States, and also private family offices from this region. One of the reasons why there's so much opportunities for them is that there's a glut of entrepreneurs on the continent with ideas, but not enough local capital. So obviously, this has attracted interest from people who are looking for tech startups capable of scaling to the next level. And so that's where most of this capital has come from.
Okay, so this sounds all great on paper, but are there any concerns or challenges for investors?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the concerns for investors has always been how much of a scale is possible. We've seen the startup industry grow. We've seen businesses grow into, you know, fairly sustainable businesses. But we've not seen the exits. We've not seen a lot of IPOs, for example. We've not seen a lot of acquisitions. So I think for investors, they have to realize that the opportunity for fast cash just might not exist yet. To put things in perspective, most African economies are still fairly informal, fairly small scale. Loads of people work in those sectors. And so the tech industry has great potential to, you know, transform economies in the future, but that would require the economies of the country where they are operating to get better, to get bigger. So I think right now it's a matter of potential that people are seeing in these industries, and they're banking on that potential being fulfilled somewhere down the line.
Anu Adeoye is the FT's West Africa correspondent. Thanks, Anu.
Thank you.
Before we go, we thought you might like today's episode of the FT's culture podcast called Life and Art from FT Weekend. The episode is all about the pop star Olivia Rodrigo. Now, you have probably heard of her. She is a big name. And music executives are worried that she might be the last megastar.
In the music industry specifically, TikTok has been easily the biggest change in recent years. And it's very unpredictable what will become popular, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they can't control it, and they're very uncomfortable with that.
We've got a link to that episode in the show notes, and just search Life and Art wherever you get your podcasts. They've got a bunch of great stuff in that feed. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.